from our time of catechesis, but we're back. You remember what we studied 2 weeks ago? That was what? Instruction to who? To husbands. That's right, to husbands. So I invite you to turn to the insert. It's only fitting then that the catechism move on to wives. To wives. Now I do want to recap a little bit because here to wives, Luther cites Ephesians 5, 22. And remember when we talked about husbands, we talked about Ephesians 5, that chapter, and the model that it gives for husbands and wives. What is the husband then to do to refresh our memory? Who are they to emulate or to be like in the marriage? God. Yeah, like Jesus, right? Who said that? Somebody said that. It doesn't matter who said it. Like Jesus, in what way? Mary, what did he do?
Well, he saved the church.
Yeah, he saved the church. That's right. So the way that that Christ loves the church. And what are the things that Christ does for the church? He gives them, gives her his word, right? He instructs in the faith. What else does he do? Yeah, he makes sacrifices for her. He serves her, right? In word and deed. And then also he loves her, right? Until the end. That's how he shows his love, by service and by giving her the word. And even willing, as Jesus did, to do what for her? Most especially. Yeah, die for her. That's right. So that's not exactly an easy thing for a husband to do, is it? Because it requires him to be in an office of service. That doesn't mean he's not the head of the home. But as the head, he has those special duties, responsibilities. One of the things that he needs to be concerned about then is his wife's office, right? What the husband is to the wife. The wife is in an office of, we might say, well, let's look at the first reading. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Right? So she has an office of submission. We even talked about her, I think, last time, 2 weeks ago, as the weaker sex, you know. That's not necessarily a bad expression. But it's because she's in this office of submission. She has to receive the word from her husband. Receive his service. Receive his life. Doesn't sound so bad when you say it that way, does it? Because you're receiving gifts, just like it's the church receives all those good things from her Lord. Okay? But that office of submission then is also difficult, because then what is the husband to do with that? Serve, honor, obey, or and love, cherish, give her life, serve her. But could he abuse that office? Right, because she's in the weaker position. So just the same, any earthly authority, it could be a government, it could be a pastor over a congregation, any of those authorities can abuse the office, right? To use that headship as a position of power, you know, to not serve, but rather to forcibly obey. So sometimes you have to submit to evil leaders, right? And that's even more difficult. So that's a position that, as a husband, you need to recognize and understand that she's in a position of vulnerability because of her submission office. All right, so, but to submit, again, as I said, is a good thing, right? Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Why? Because what is the husband there to give you? His, name a few things. Don't know? Okay.
Support.
Support, yeah. Love, yeah. What'd you say?
Money.
Husband gives you money. Well, yeah, in a classic sense, that's true, right? The husband was usually the breadwinner. That's right. Not always. How about the word of God? Right? So, you know, as the catechism used to be translated, although we changed this to benefit those who are in homes that don't have both husband and wife, it used to be as the father would teach his children, right, before each part of the catechism. Now it's as the head of the household, recognizing that don't always have fathers in homes. But the idea is still the same. You know, that actually the mother who serves her children in the absence of a father is serving in the father's office, doing what the father would have done for the benefit of the child. Okay? So leading with the word of God. And again, there's the example, 522, as to the Lord, right? As the church, the bride of Christ, submits to Christ's love and receives his word and service. All right, moving forward, look at 1 Peter 3. This one's a little bit more fun. And you can see here at the beginning, there's a bit in brackets that was added. Wasn't in Luther's catechism. We added this in the most recent edition of the catechism. Just went back a couple more verses to provide some context, especially in today's age. Women didn't always like what was written here by Peter. This is the way that the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. All right, 1 Peter. What is he saying there? The context is very helpful, isn't it? This is the way that the women of the past, of old, put their hope in God, made themselves beautiful. So from God's perspective, is beauty external then, at least in this text? You know, whether or not you have a pretty face or not? No. What is he saying? Women make themselves beautiful by doing what?
What is right.
By what?
What is right.
By what is right, yeah. By faith, right, in God. And namely, here, in submitting to their husbands and hearing the word from them, receiving their love and life from their husband. Oh, we've missed that one, didn't we? The husband provides life for his wife. Maybe more often than not, now it's the police who guard us, right? Or the armies. But historically, there too, right? The husband was the one who protected the family. All right. Anyway, they were submissive to their own husbands. There's that word again. Now we have it. We had it both in Paul and Ephesians, and now in Peter, 1 Peter, to submit to their husbands. So that office under his headship of love and of life. And that actually makes them beautiful. And we've seen that when we studied marriage in our Bible class. We finished that a month ago or so. We spent a couple months studying marriage, right? And you notice that, and then we celebrated this. There's Joe and Maxine, 50, right? Celebrating a marriage of 50 years. It's actually a lovely thing. It's a beautiful thing. That's not something we see very often, that sort of thing. We have any other? We had another one that was 50, didn't we?
Vance Wolfe,
that's right. Yeah, so we've been celebrating those things because they are, not just because they're like hard work accomplished, right? But because it's a beautiful thing to see what God has done for you in preserving your marriage. Like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called her master. Again, did she obey him when he was a jerk? Well, actually, yes. Mm-hmm. But you remember the account where the Lord came to Abraham and promised him a child? And Abraham, at first, was a little skeptical himself. He told Sarah, and what did Sarah say? Yeah, she didn't say anything. She laughed. Right then she said something. She laughed first. But Abraham spoke the word of God, and she submitted to that. I think they probably both laughed together, but said, that's what God says he's going to do, and so we're going to do it. Right? And so their example of faith is commended to us in Hebrews as well. So, again, here an example. You are to be like Sarah to Abraham, to submit to your husband in faith, because God has instructed you to do that, even though it doesn't always make sense. It doesn't always seem right, maybe. But faith in what way? Faith in what God has promised to give in marriage, right? He's promised that through marriage you'd receive life and love. And namely, that life would be received from your husband for the beginning of more life, right? Procreation, and giving of life then to children, where God wills. That's his promise. That's his promise, is that he'll preserve you, and that marriage is given not just to preserve you, but then to preserve the society too. So it is good to do right here, as Peter would say, and not give way to fear, not think, oh, if I submit to my husband, things are going to go poorly for us. All things work for the good for those who love him, are called according to his promise, to his purpose, I should say. All right, so it's a call to live in faith in the gospel, just like with husbands, to serve as Christ served the church, right? That's not something we know naturally. It's something we have to receive from God. So the same with wives, to submit to their husband. It's not something that our society would say. They'd say we're all equal, egalitarian, equal office. Not according to the scriptures. And that's for blessing. And so God would bless the marriage and provide in the way he would see fit. And he will do good by you that way. All right. If you could turn to the bottom of the sheet there, you'll see the prayer. Let's pray that prayer together. O Lord Jesus, by your word and spirit, fashion all Christian women into wives made in the image of your bride, the church. Teach them to submit to their husbands as to you, their Lord and Savior. Give them hearts that trust in your word. Honor their husbands and look to them for love and spiritual headship. Deliver them from all fear and faithlessness. Where their husbands fail them, Support them with your grace, and let them find their sufficiency in you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.